All right, well, it is an honor and a privilege to be here with you all this evening. As Pastor mentioned, my name is Oren Moss. My wife, her name is Brooke Moss, and our daughter, who is currently in the nursery right now, her name is Haven Moss, and we're excited to be with you here today just to talk a little bit about what the Lord's doing in our own lives. You know, if I could be a little bit selfish for a little bit, I'm thankful for what the Lord's done in my life. You know, just a little bit about me. You know, I was saved at a young age. I was saved at 8 years old. I grew up in a Christian home. But, you know, as many of you might attest to, right, just because you grew up in a Christian home doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you're on fire for the Lord, you know. And, you know, at a young age, I would say that I was saved. But it took some time for me to really to understand, you know, as many will say, not just what you're saved from, but what you're saved to, right? And it wasn't until, for me, I was actually in college, you know, I would say I'd lived a pretty okay life, right, by earthly standards anyway. But when I was in college, you know, I really felt conviction from the Lord about my, you know, my apathy, right, my lack of concern for the world or for the lost. And when I was in college, I prayed this prayer, and maybe some of you have prayed a similar prayer. I said, Lord, whatever you'd have me to do, I'll do. And it was you know, it was a low point in my life, but I think the Lord used that point to direct me and to encourage me to live for more than myself. And, you know, after that point, obviously I'm skipping over parts of my story, right, because we'd be here for the next 2 hours, right? But I would get an opportunity after Bible college to actually travel to Hawaii, where I would spend the next 4 years teaching Christian school. You know, it's funny, we came in here and, you know, we got one of the prayer sheets, and we actually know a couple of the missionaries on the prayer sheets. Our church supported them, and especially the Chings, we know them. They frequent our church several times. Me and my wife actually did VBS at our church for a number of years, and, you know, they'd load up all their kids, you know, in the big van, and they'd come to our church for VBS for a number of summers. I believe they still come to our church for our church's VBS, right? It's, you know, you kind of, if you're like our, you know, state or our city, a lot of people, they find the different VBSs, right? It's like, well, this church has VBS this week, and then you go to that one, and then the next church has VBS the other week, so you go to that one, you know, and it's kind of funny. But yeah, no, we know them, and we also know, I mean, my wife knows more than I do, but the missionaries in Papua New Guinea. My wife had a friend that also taught in the Christian school. My wife was an elementary school teacher, and she had a friend that used to teach at our school that taught at the Christian school in Papua New Guinea for a number of years. So that was kind of an interesting connection that we saw, you know, just kind of coming in, and we're like, oh, we know all these people, you know, and it's interesting because we get to put a face to the name, right? And that's so helpful, especially when you're praying. It's helpful to have a face, right? And I think that's it's such a blessing, especially when missionaries send out prayer letters. You know, there are pictures on there, and yes, they're giving their specific needs, but they're also showing themselves and assuring their family. And as we pray and as we go to the Lord on their behalf, oftentimes we can actually have a visual in our minds of those individuals and their families as well. So that was kind of a sequitur there, but. So here I am, right, in Hawaii, right, I'm teaching at a Christian school. Of course, I meet my wife there. She also had this a similar opportunity after college to teach at that Christian school. And of course, you know, I remember my commitment to the Lord, right? So as soon as I'm there, you know, we're serving, right? We're in church, obviously we're working in the Christian school, but even outside of that, I taught, you know, college and career Sunday school for a number of years. I led discipleship classes for a number of years as well. I was an usher for a number of years. I did special music. Anything, I kind of jokingly say, right? Everything except, you know, being up here preaching on Sunday morning, right? I was pretty much involved in as much as I could, right? Because that's what I felt the Lord was leading me to do. And through that, I was very encouraged, because it was actually through that the Lord would start to burden my heart towards ministry. And, you know, if I can encourage any individual here tonight, or even in the sound of my voice, you know, if you're, I say this often, but if you're seeking to know what God wants you to do with your life, right? If you're praying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? If you're praying and asking the Lord for, you know, some specific revelation, right? I'm sure you guys have missionaries coming through, and many of them will often will often say how the Lord led them to their specific field of ministry. You know, if you're looking at that and you say, hey, I want that for my life, then I would say, hey, just get busy serving. Do something inside of your church. To kind of give you an idea, you know, for me, as a teacher, when I have students come up and they will say, hey, you know, Mr. Moss, what can I do to excel in this class, right? Anybody in here teachers? Anybody in teachers or maybe have immediate family that are teachers? Okay, so I'm preaching to you, sir. Just kidding. But as a teacher, and I'm sure many of you have fond memories of high school, but as a teacher, if I had a student come up to me and ask me, you know, what am I supposed to do well in the class, then, you know, that it encourages me as a teacher, right? Because that shows me that, hey, this person wants to do well in the class. But at the same time, the first thing that I'm going to tell that student is basically the same thing I tell every other student, right? I'm not going to give that student some special revelation. Oh, if you do this, if you do that, it's going to say, oh, you need to do your homework, you need to study for your quizzes, study for your tests. And then once that student does that, let's say they go for the next couple months, and they turn in everything, they do all their assignments, I see them earnestly trying for the grade, then I can say, okay, well, you know, here's this additional thing that'll kind of bump up your grade, right? Am I making sense? Are we understanding where I'm getting at? So with that in mind, right, similarly, right, in the Christian walk, oftentimes we'll go to the Lord and we'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, we want this kind of special revelation from the Lord, you know. Oh, God, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to be a missionary? Do you want me to do this? And a lot of times the Lord's just telling us, you know, just do the things that I've called every Christian to do, right? Because sometimes we get so caught up in the idea or the prestige of you know being a pastor or being a missionary, and sometimes someone will come up and they'll have these grandeur stories about how the Lord called them, and we're like, man, I want that for my life. But sometimes the Lord, you know, he just looks at us and he says, well, how about you start with doing the things that I've called every single Christian to do? And oftentimes, as you start to do those things, whether it's being better about your prayer life or being better about reading scripture or serving in the church in some capacity, right? Even teens, right? I'm not just preaching to the adults here, right? Even teens can get involved in something. And as you start to get involved in ministry, you'll see that you'll start to get a heart for ministry, and the Lord will start to lead you into directions where you'll start to say, I feel that this is what the Lord has for me, or this is what the Lord wants me to do. So if I can just be an encouragement to you, just, you know, maybe go to the pastor and say, hey, is there anything that I can do? I'm sure there's something, right? There's probably several things in the church or doing service, right? There's probably a lot of things that you can do. Or maybe if not, just say, hey, let me think of something to do. And again, I'm sure that will be not just a great benefit to your pastor, but the Lord will reward you greatly for that. But anyway, that's another rabbit trail. As we're doing that, and as we are serving, the Lord would put a burden in my heart for ministry. And it would be at a 2022 missions conference at our church, Ko'olau Baptist Church in Hawaii, that my wife and I would step forward and again, quote, kind of a similar prayer that I prayed, you know, back in my dorm room in college, whatever you'd have me to do, I'll do, right? And we would step forward and say that we want to be in ministry full time. We want to step out of the education space and just do whatever the Lord would have for us. Now, at that time, we didn't necessarily have a specific area in mind. So one of the things that we did was, you know, we continued to do the things that we were doing, right? I continued to teach Sunday school. We continued to do, if anything, we started to do more, right? We started to get more involved in ministry. But one of the things that we did was reach out to some of the missionaries that our church had supported. And that, of course, led us to learn a lot about the need in San Francisco, California, and the need for churches. And you know, it was kind of a revelation for me because, you know, if you spend half a millisecond watching the news or seeing, you know, online or things like that, you'll see that there's parts of this country that have turned away from the Lord, you know, for lack of a better phrase. You know, it breaks my heart, you know, when I see, you know, things like political assassinations, you know, and when I see these things, it hurts my heart because oftentimes we understand that so many of us are so focused on these other solutions, right? We're so focused on, oh, well, if it was just this, you know, this political party gets in, then everything's going to change, right? Or, oh, well, if we just vote this new law in, then everything's going to change, right? And it's like, well, you know, how about if we preach Jesus, right? Because Christ is the one that changes our hearts and changes our lives. It's not necessarily anything that we can do, but if we can just stay focused on, hey, if we can preach Christ, and this is a little bit of my personal conviction, you know, it's so easy to kind of point out the problems, right? It's so easy to point out the errors, right? The moral failures, if you will. But oftentimes it's like, okay, well, if we can point out the need, then that means that should we not be a part of the solution? And for me, you know, it was easy for me to look at a place like California and often to judge California and to say, oh, California is wicked, or California is this, or California is that, you know, and you know, this isn't necessarily part of the message, but I think the Lord led me to Romans 10, right? A very common passage of scripture, right? There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, but the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. You know, and we hear that and we say, amen, right? That's fantastic, right? And it goes on, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, amen, right? In church we say, amen, that's fantastic. But the conviction kind of comes in the next verse, but it says, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the idea is, you know, for me personally, as I'm reading this and I'm working through this, you know, the Lord is revealing to me through his word, you know, how can I look on individuals in California and how can I expect any better from them, right? How can I expect them not to be sinners? Or how can I expect them not to live the lives that they live and to blaspheme the name of the Lord? How can I expect them not to live the lives that they live if I am not willing to share the gospel with them so that they can have their lives changed? And ultimately, we understand that, you know, as individuals, we are to call upon the name of the Lord. But how can we expect individuals to have their lives changed if we're not willing to tell them about it? I love how, you know, we came in and, you know, and we're kind of in on a little bit of you guys' ministry here around the church, right? You guys have taken an opportunity, right, a Halloween or a parade or something like that, and you guys have said, you know what, we're going to take advantage of that, right? We're not just going to reject it, you know. We're going to say, you know what, if they're going to parade, we're going to give them tracts, right? And I love that, and I appreciate that, and I think that is a testament to having the right response to certain things, right? And we can often see, even within our neighborhoods, we can say, well, how can we expect any different unless we ourselves are willing to step out of our own comfort zone and to approach individuals and to say, hey, have you heard about the message of salvation? Have you ever heard about Christ? Will you come to church with me? Have a meal with me? Can we talk about the gospel? Because again, you know, we can rave about it all day long, but if we're not willing to be a part of the solution, then there's almost no point, right? So that's kind of where our family rests in that. We feel the Lord has called us to minister and to preach the gospel in San Francisco and ultimately to start churches. And we believe that starting a church just blossoms from our efforts to share the gospel. And the Lord has called us to that, and we're thankful for that. For the rest of the time, we're going to, let's actually go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. With the short amount of time that I have, I don't want to spend too much time here with you tonight, but I do want to take some time to look into the Lord's word and to share what I feel that the Lord has placed on my heart. You know, I kind of had an idea about what, you know, I was going to preach on, but I think the Lord has shifted my thinking a little bit and has led me to this passage. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure Pastor can kind of attest to this, right? Sometimes it's like you have an idea on something, and sometimes the Lord just says, nope, this is what I want you to do. And you're like, okay, but I've already done all this preparation and things like that. And the Lord's like, nope, this is what I want you to do, you know? And it's like, well, I guess I'll put that on for another day, you know? But I think the Lord has led me to, you know, again, through his word, spend a little bit of time today looking at the idea of prayer. And how important prayer is to the life of a Christian. I'm thankful that, you know, this church, as well as many other churches that we've been a part of, sets a specific time and even is very intentional, even in this service, is very intentional about setting time and having that time dedicated to prayer. And it's so important because because that is the mechanism with which we have to communicate with God, right? You know, I was talking to a group of kids and at a conference about a week ago, and, you know, one of the things I asked them is, I'm like, okay, well, if you want to get to know someone, then what do? Right? If you just meet somebody, and I know we don't kind of do this now, like, do we still go up to people and say, like, can I be your friend? Is that kind of weird nowadays, right? I know, you know, years ago, I've personally never done that. I think somebody's done that to me before, and it kind of kicked me back a little bit, but, like, do we still do that? Do we still walk up to people and say, hey, can I be your friend? If you do, I think that's valid, right? I think, wow, that's actually fantastic. I'm pointing out that it's not something that we do. But if, let's say, you know, you walk up to someone and say, hey, I want to be your friend, and they say, sure, you can be my friend. Great. How do we then perceive to get to know that person? Well, I would say, and the students did a good job of giving answers 90% of the time, right? Some of it was like, give them your candy. And I'm like, you guys are crazy, you know? But most of it, I would say, is you talk to them, right? You know, if I want to get to know somebody, I talk to them, and then they respond, and then they talk to me, and then I respond. In the same way, if we want to draw closer to the Lord, then should we not, is it not just as important for us to talk to God and then for God to talk to us? And as we speak to the Lord through our prayers, and then the Lord speaks to us through his word. So in the same way, reading scripture, and not just kind of leisurely reading it, although that is not necessarily a bad thing, but actually studying it and understanding it. But at the same time, God speaking to us through scripture, we need to speak to him through prayer, and it's so important. And in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord gives, you know, if you're like me, you grew up hearing this as like the Lord's Prayer, right? Or the model prayer, the prayer that the Lord gave to his disciples and say, hey, pray in like manner as this. And it starts in verse number 9. Read with me, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse number 9. It says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll spend some time looking at this tonight. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that you will just bless the reading of your word, Lord. Be with me. Give me the words to say, Lord. And take away the words that I'm not supposed to say. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us just to gather in your house tonight. I pray that you bless the remainder of this service. We ask all this in your name. Amen. So here's the model prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, right? This is the prayer that Jesus Christ gives his disciples. And oftentimes, you know, this is a prayer that we would read today, and we would often replicate our prayers based off of this, right? And obviously, you don't necessarily have to do like word for word this prayer, but I think it gives us a good dynamic of how to pray, how to address the Lord in prayer. But I also think as a church that seeks to pray for missionaries and for missions and even for individuals in the church, I think that it gives us kind of a helpful guideline, if you will, of how to pray for missions or how to pray for ministry. If you'd read with me right again in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hey, number one, if you want to pray for, you know, a missionary, man, pray that they will live to honor the Lord. Pray that they will live to give honor and glory to God. I think so many times, you know, we just need to stop and just give glory to God. And just spend time, especially as we pray, right? A lot of times, and I try to encourage, you know, my students in this as well, right? Sometimes, you know, it's like, we're going to pray. And as soon as you bow your heads and close your eyes to pray, it's like, oh, dear God, give me this, give me that, give me that. Thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for that, amen, you know? It's kind of one of those, like, really quick prayers. Or like those prayers where you're about to eat and you're about to take that first spoonful and you're like, oh, I forgot to pray. Dear God, bless this food, amen, you know? And you got to do that quick, fast prayer, you know? It's like, blah, 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 amen. Okay, I mean, I'm understanding of, you know, hey, you forgot to pray before you ate. Okay, that's fine. But if we're going to the Lord in prayer and we're being sincere in that, then should we not take some time to give honor and glory that's due to him? And as we take this and we use this as a model to say, hey, we're going to pray for someone, specifically a missionary, then pray that, hey, that missionary would seek to give honor and glory to the Lord, not just in their words, but in their deeds, in their actions. Number two, as we continue, hey, give us this day our daily bread. Hey, pray that missionaries will have their needs met. One of the reasons why missionaries, you know, travel on deputation is so that churches can gather for financial support. And, you know, I think that a church is not going to, if they're supporting, say they're supporting, you know, a missionary, and let's say that missionary's got like four kids, right, five kids. You know, that church is not going to say, all right, now, you know, brother so-and-so, this money, you know, this is for the church. You know, like this money is not for gas, you know, or they're not going to say, if, you know, or they give like a love offering. They're not going to say, well, brother, this money, don't go buy a McDonald's with this money. Because I think we understand as individuals in ministry that everybody, including missionaries, has physical needs. And I think a big part of the church, especially in supporting missions and ministry, is to actually cater to the physical needs of not just the missionary themselves, but the individuals that missionary is potentially going to reach. And it's not this prayer of fearfulness that we're saying, oh Lord Jesus, please, please, please give us something to eat. But at the same time, it's not kind of the reverse of that, of this prayer of arrogance, of demanding God give us the things that we're owed. It's just a prayer request to the Lord in the same way that a child will ask a food from their father, right? With an understanding that my father is able to provide for me. And then, hey, maybe there is a reason that I'm not getting food or I'm not getting sustenance at this specific time, and there's a reason for that. And I think that's something that we should pray for. We should pray in a similar way that Christ asked us to pray to our Father for our daily provisions. We should pray that the daily needs of missionaries are met. Because if their daily needs are not met, then how are they then to seek to meet others' needs, physical and spiritual? So pray that hey, missionaries will give honor and glory to the Lord. Why? Because that's a testimony of themselves. And often that testimony speaks louder than whatever message that they can give. Number two, pray that their daily needs are met. And number three, it says in verse number 12, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Pray for the hearts of missionaries. Many missionaries in many different fields, they're going to have wrongs done against them. So many times, even, you know, it's interesting how my brother asked me as he was, you know, getting our video. He's like, hey, are we able to live stream this? And it's such a great, it's something that nowadays we have to ask. Why? Because certain individuals are in certain spaces where you have to be cautious about that. And these individuals, especially in these certain places, and I believe the Lord has blessed them and given them a desire to travel to these closed off places, these places where the general consensus of the population is not a willingness to hear. It's actually to be adamantly against the gospel. But those individuals will still go into those areas. Man, pray for their hearts that they would seek to forgive others. They would guard their hearts as things are done against them. And then finally, in verse number 13, as Christ wraps up, the Bible says here, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, I know in Scripture, we understand that as the Lord leads us into temptation, we know that it's for our good, right? And it's ultimately for the glory of God. So that's something that we can often take comfort in, because we know that whatever it is that's happening inside of our lives is ultimately for God's glory, or we can use it for God's glory. But still, man, pray that missionaries are not led into temptation. In the same way, you know, pray for your pastor that he is not tempted. Pray that we are not led into temptation, and pray that we are delivered from evil, because that is something that can destroy a ministry. Temptation, it can destroy a ministry. And we understand that, and we know that, hey, we are human beings. Just to use a quick example, a little closer to home, I, as a husband, understand that there are temptations out there that would seek to separate me from my wife, or would seek to have me break my vows towards my wife. Maybe not in a direct sense, or even in a physical sense, but maybe in an emotional sense. So, as a husband, I pray that the husband's in here that we are praying, and that we are taking precautions, that we are not allowing ourselves to or be put in certain positions that will allow us to be tempted. Because we understand that there are certain things that are outside of our control, right? We can't avoid every single temptation, but we can avoid some. We cannot put ourselves in certain situations because, again, we understand that we are human beings. So in the same way, in a ministry, there are certain avenues of ministry that, as individuals, whether it's a missionary or a pastor or even just a Christian, right? I almost said just a regular Christian, right? I don't want to make it seem like it's lower than anything else, but for a Christian in general, there are certain things that we should stay away from. There are certain things that we should avoid. Why? Because of the potential of temptation. And if we're praying for individuals, if we're praying for missionaries in particular, especially missionaries that we as a church would support, we would pray that their ministry would just take off, right? That their ministry would be fruitful, that they would seek to connect with individuals, and they would seek to share the gospel with those individuals, and those individuals would get saved, and that they would be baptized scripturally, and that they would grow into the Lord. But I tell you, one temptation that comes in could destroy the whole thing. So Christ is giving us a model here, and he says, hey, pray that we are not led into temptation, but that we are delivered from evil. And he finishes up here, says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. He wraps up just giving honor and glory to the Lord, because that's what it's all about, beginning and end, giving honor and glory to the Lord. You know, as we kind of hinted to tonight, you know, yes, we can pray for these things for missionaries, right? Pray that their needs are met and pray that they're not led into temptation. But I'm sure that we can interchange missionary, pastor, Christian, something that we can pray into our own lives. Are we taking prayer seriously? Or are we kind of praying because it's something that we've done? Are we praying with the hearts and with the knowledge that the Lord actually can fulfill the prayer? I know it's hard, especially sometimes when we're, you know, praying for somebody in the hospital. And sometimes it feels like, man, we're just praying for them just to pray for them. But do we actually believe that the Lord can work a miracle as we're praying for these individuals? Do we actually believe that the Lord can work a miracle in this person's life? And that doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not saying that we're kind of, you know, believing these things into existence, because we understand that the Lord decides not to, right? Or if the Lord through his goodness decides not to intervene in a certain way, it's not that we're going to feel any differently about it. We're still going to give honor and glory to the Lord, but we pray knowing that our Father in heaven hears us. And man, sometimes that prayer is just a prayer from sorrow. Sometimes it's like, man, I'm going through this, and all I can do is just say God. And that's all you get. Sometimes that's the best we can do, but may we be, or maybe see prayer as not just something that we do on a day-to-day basis, but something that we believe has power. There's power in prayer. There's power in praying to the God of the universe. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,